Be finding in God's Word tonight, the third chapter of the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, and be finding the seventh verse in that chapter. And while you're turning there, may you bow your heads and may we also pray. O Lord, God of all grace and light, open our mouths that we may show forth thy praise. And Lord, how good it was to hear the voices of so many singing here tonight. How good it is to show praise unto our God, our King, our Rock, our Deliverer, our Fortress, our God. Father, tonight, in just a moment, we're going to break the bread of life. And Lord, we ask that you would enlighten our minds, that we would gain a greater understanding of your word, of your purpose, and of your desire for your church. Lord, enlighten us and encourage us in this evil day in which we live to stand strong, firmly planted on the Word of God. And help us, Father, to be doers of your Word in all things, in all places, and at all times. In that name that stands above every name, at the name who has the authority and who has said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. In that mighty name and in that authority, we offer up our prayer tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. I want you to be finding the seventh verse tonight in Revelation chapter 3. And then if you're there, if you would please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of his word here tonight. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May the Lord's word be blessed tonight. You may be seated. Family and friends, we come to the church now in these letters to the church at Philadelphia. And the church at Philadelphia writes, or represents, if you would, what we would call the revived church, dating from approximately the beginning of the 19th century all the way to the rapture. This is the church that has not turned its back on the Word of God. You know, some people like to claim and say today, oh, preacher, people just do not want to hear the Word of God. But I say on the authority of God's Word, there are always going to be people who want to hear the Word of God. There are people who are hungry for God's Word because God's Word is a transforming Word. Can I ask you tonight, are you hungry for the Word of God? The church in Philadelphia was hungry for it. And the church in Philadelphia was in an area that is subject to earthquakes. And the great population that was once in that area left primarily because of the earthquakes and, of course, because of warfare. When Tamerlane and the other great pagan leaders came out of the east, it was a time when all those who were left were slaughtered. Therefore, today, no descendants of the original population are there. However, the city has had a continuous habitation from its very beginning because it was a fortress city. It was used to waylay the enemy who would come to destroy the greater cities like Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamum. Those were three great cities. These other cities, where these letters are going to, were largely fortress cities where garrisons were stationed, either to stop the enemy or to delay him as he marched toward the western coast. The city got its name because of the love that Attalus II had for his brother Eumenes, who is the king of Pergamum. Attalus had a great love and a great loyalty for his brother, and because of that, this city is named the City of Brotherly Love. In AD 17, a great earthquake struck in the city and totally destroyed it, the same earthquake that totally destroyed Sardis and many other Lydian cities throughout that area. Tiberius, the emperor at that time, allocated a vast sum of money for the rebuilding of these cities, and they were then restored. This is the one church, besides the church at Smyrna, where the Lord God does not have a single word of condemnation. It's all commendation. And do you know why? Because this church had turned to the Word of God. It's very interesting concerning the two churches that he did not condemn. Do you realize these places are still in existence in our day, although the churches have disappeared? Philadelphia is the place where Christian and Saracen fought during the Crusades, and in 1922, Turkey and Greece fought in Philadelphia, but history proves that the church in Philadelphia continued all the way to the 13th century, but these cities are still there today. This church was in a very strategic area to be a missionary church. And that is exactly what it was, a missionary church. This was a revived church. And how great it is to have a revived church. Do you want to know what revived this church? I'll tell you what it was. The Word of God. This church was revived because it returned to God's Word and it began to teach God's Word. How wonderful if it would be in our day, in our age, if the church all over the world would unite and turn back to the Word of God. That's why God says here, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. And to the angel of the church. Who is the angel? Do you have any idea? The angel Christ is referring to here is the pastor of the church. He is the human messenger that God had sent to that church. And he writes, "These things saith he that is holy, that is, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." Now, in each of these letters, the Lord always draws something from that vision of himself as the glorified Christ, our great high priest, and here he reminds his people that he is holy. He was called holy at his birth when the angel said unto Mary, "Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God," Luke 1:35. And in his death he was holy, because we are told in Acts 2:27, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Christ was holy in his death and holy in his resurrection. What a marvelous thing this is. He is also holy today in his high priestly office, for we read in Hebrews 7:26, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." But then he says, "He that is true," in John, wrote in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know what true means in the Bible? It means genuine. But in Christ's case, it means he was perfect. And he is complete. He is the true bread of heaven. But God also describes him here, "He that hath the key of David." And what is Christ referring to? He is referring to his regal reign as the ruler of this universe. Do you realize the Bible says in Luke 1:32-33, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But then he writes, "He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." He is the one today that the Bible declares unto us who is able to open and to close, and because of that, he is a comfort to us. You see, the Bible says, Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then the church gets its marching orders. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I want you to look here at verse 8. And once again, Christ says, "I know thy works." But watch this. "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." God is simply telling us that the church in Philadelphia was one that was true to the Word of God. And no matter what denomination or what church there is in our day, if that church does not hold true to the Word of God, it is not a church. You see, for the church to be the church, it must hold true to the Word of God, or else it is not a church that Jesus Christ knows. And friends, you know as well as I do that in our day and in our time, there are a lot of churches and denominations whom Jesus Christ no longer knows because they do not know Jesus Christ simply because they do not hold true to the Word of God. What makes the church is the Word of God. What makes you and I this church? The Word of God. Anything apart from the Word of God, it's not the church. You see, the Bible says, Matthew 16:15-18, He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who is Christ? John 1:1 gives us the answer. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Christ is the Word of God, and what Peter confessed was his faith in the Word of God. Listen, Christ recognizes no profession of faith that does not believe that he is the living Word of God. Remember what Jesus said, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. Do you know why that is? Because he is the Word. He is the living Word of God. And so for a church to be a church, and every church is comprised of people, not its building, it must hold true to the Word of God. And if it doesn't hold true to the Word of God, it is not God's church. We're going to see that in greater detail in the last letter to the seven churches, the church at Laodicea. But God wants us to know that the church in Philadelphia was the one which was holding true, holding fast, standing firm on the solid rock that is the Word of God. And so the Lord commends this church on seven counts. First, he says, I know thy works. Do you know when God looks at his church? Do you want to know what he looks for? He looks for fruit. In other words, he is looking for works in the life of his believers, those who claim they are his. Why do you suppose that is? Because the Bible says, Ephesians 2:8-9-10, For grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Family and friends, if our faith doesn't produce works, there's something wrong with our faith. You see, good old practical Camel Knee James was a great man of prayer who said, Show me thy faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And the works James is referring to are not the works of the law, but the works of faith. Faith alone saves, but faith that does not work is not alone. Saving faith produces works. He says here, second commendation, Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut. This is the door to the knowledge of the Scriptures. And family and friends, because Christ has opened the door, he expects us to move in because this will be an open door of opportunity for witnessing. You and I are to be exactly what that song was that we sang. A channel of blessing. If you know Christ as your Savior tonight, the Word of the living God lives inside of you. And the Bible says that you'll overcome Satan in your life by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Oh, how we need to be testifying in this day of the great things that God hath done in our life. Because every time we do, God opens a door. Do you realize that one out of every four people would come to church if somebody would tell them about Christ? One out of every four. Oh, how we need to be out telling people about Jesus Christ. This was a missionary church filled with missionaries. Can I ask you tonight, who are the missionaries of Green Valley Baptist Church? You better believe it. We are. The two go hand in hand. Note what he says. For thou hast a little strength. Dunamis is the Greek word for power, from which we get our English word dynamite. This was a humble group of believers that did not have impressive church building or lots of members or even a whole lot of programs. It was just simply a small church, but Christ says, you've got a little power. And you know what they were using that little bit of power they had for? They were getting the Word of God out. They were getting the Word of God out. That's the most important thing that we can ever do as a church, is get the Word out. And conversely, if we're not getting the Word out, it doesn't matter what we're doing, because we're not accomplishing a thing for the kingdom of God. The church's job is to get the Word out. And then he says, forth, and has kept my word. In a day when there was a denial of the inspiration of the Scriptures, funny, isn't it? That's what they said about the church in Philadelphia. There were people living in Philadelphia who were denying that the Scriptures were God-breathed. Here we are, some 2,500 years later, and people are saying the same thing. I guess the writer, the good old preacher of Ecclesiastes, was right. There is nothing new under the sun. But this church believed the Bible to be the authoritative, inspired Word of God. And so Christ commends them. And may Christ commend us. May Christ commend you. I pray that in your life and in this church's life, from now till Christ comes, that this church will always keep his word. And then fifth, he said, and has not denied my name. In a day when the deity of Christ was blatantly being denied in many denominations of that time, here was a group of believers whom Christ says were remaining true to him by proclaiming the God-man and his substitutionary death for sinners. That's still true, isn't it? Without the cross of Christ, without the God-man of heaven being our substitutionary sacrifice, shedding his blood on Calvary's cross, going to the grave and rising from the dead, without his resurrection life, there is no hope for anybody. Understand, in a day much like our own, this was a day of unbelief and skepticism. And we find the Lord Jesus is commending this church because it has kept his word. What a great encouragement to us on our day to hold on, to stand on, and to keep the word of God. He says here in verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Now the remnant of Israel that was being saved had left the synagogue by this time. They had given up the Old Testament law as a means of salvation and sanctification, but those who continued in the synagogue were now in a false religion. And as Paul wrote, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." God considers the true Israelite to be those who have turned to Christ. And so here is the sixth word of commendation. He says, "Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." And what he is saying to this church is, "I will make the enemies of this church here in Philadelphia know that I have loved thee." Seventh word of commendation is found in verse 10. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation." Oh, what a glorious promise there is there. "Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." He commends them for keeping the word of God in patience. He is referring to the patient waiting for the coming of Christ for his own at the rapture. You see, Christ's final word of encouragement to his church here and to us today is that we will not pass through the great tribulation. He will keep us from that awful hour of Holocaust that is soon coming upon this earth. His promise to those who hold true to his word is to take them in the rapture. Now you might be thinking, because in verse 11 he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And quickly does not mean soon. Rather, it carries the idea of suddenness. He will come at a time when they know not. The Bible says it'll be in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We shall all be changed. But when he comes, it'll be sudden. And this is both the promise and the hope of the church according to the scriptures. Titus 2 and 13, the Bible says to the church today, we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I ask you tonight, is that how you're living your life? Every day, are you listening close for the trumpet sound? Do you realize the Bible in several places in the New Testament promises that God has saved us from the wrath to come? I would encourage you to read the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Oh, the precious promises that are ours because of Christ. Let me ask you a question tonight. If Christ were to come suddenly, would you be ready? If you were to have to stand before Jesus Christ tonight and he was to look at you and say, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" How would you answer him? Do you know that you know you are saved? Are you living like you're saved? Are you doing the Father's will? Friend, one day soon, the shout's going to come and the church will be gone. In the moment. In the twinkling of an eye. When Christ calls his church out, will you be gone? Will you fly away? Or will you be left behind? Tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're joining us online, I want you to know that that invitation is for you as well. Tonight, you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior by simply bowing your head and genuinely praying from your heart these words. You pray them after me tonight. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your forgiveness and your salvation. Lord, tonight I'm repenting of my sin and I am placing my faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, only your blood can wash me. Only your blood can make me clean, and only through your blood can I ever be made whole. Lord, I've heard that preacher tonight talk about the blood of Jesus Christ and how we can overcome through the blood of Jesus Christ. And tonight I am praying for the blood of Jesus Christ to wash me, to cleanse me, and to make me whole. Lord, I'm turning from my sin. I'm turning from all that I have trusted in. And I am turning to you, and I am placing my faith and my trust in the blood-bought cross of Jesus Christ. You are my redemption. You are my Savior. And Lord, I just want to thank you tonight for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer tonight, sincerely from your heart and you're online, I want you to know that you are saved. And I'd like you to pick up the telephone tonight and call Green Valley Baptist Church. We want to put a Bible in your hands. We've got other materials to get into your hands because we want to help you in your walk with Christ. For those here in the church, as Marty comes and leads us in our hymn of invitation tonight, what is God saying to you? How would God want you to respond to this invitation? Many of you here tonight are saved. We know that. Hallelujah, amen. But what about those in your family who are not saved? Those whom you're very concerned about. If Christ were to come tonight, you're not certain they're going home. Let me ask you tonight, would it be worth it if you could come and sit in these front pews or come and kneel and just ask God to do what only God can do? Maybe there's something else on your mind. But I'll tell you, the greatest gift that any man could ever receive is the gift of knowing he's going home. I think there's a whole lot of people tonight we could be praying for, whether they in our family or somebody else's family. So as Marty comes to lead us, you respond to what God may be saying to you tonight.